Scripture reading for our consideration today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, portions of the 15th and 16th chapters, and our Lord is here addressing his apostles. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. During World War II, the Japanese used kamikaze pilots, suicide bombers, that would fly into our ships and planes of United States soldiers and Navy men. And there were 4,000 of them. They killed about 7,000 soldiers. It was a very obvious physical attack. The Japanese also used what became known as Tokyo Rose. There were 12, they believe about 12 women who were working for Japan and would broadcast things out into the many of the islands around Japan where our soldiers would be, speaking to them in English, trying to lure them into thinking more about going back home and laying down their weapons and things like that. Very subtle, kind of almost a psychological type of warfare, if you will. Now, both of those activities, the kamikazes and the Tokyo Rose, were coming from the same enemy source, and they both really ultimately had the same goal in mind. Jesus often addresses the persecution that Christians will have to face in this world. And there are times, as we see in parts of Africa right now, where it can be very physical and where the persecution is deadly. And then there are other times when it's done in a more, maybe we could call it psychological, cultural way. It might come through different forms to get us to kind of lay down our faith and walk away from our Savior. But both of these are coming from the same evil source, from the sources of our enemies, the enemies of our faith. And they both have the same ultimate goal in mind, to get us away from Christ. The advantage of physical persecution is you can see it very clearly. And quite often it actually hardens believers in their faith, makes them even more firm in their faith. Psychological persecution, however, can come through a smooth-talking friend or somebody new that you start to date, or maybe in a certain textbook you like, or maybe in some media things that come through to you and start to slowly work on the heart. There have been times in Europe when people have tried to use physical force to kill the church, and it hasn't worked. But in much of Western Europe, Christianity in your generation is pretty much gone. And it didn't happen by force. It just happened over time by people not caring anymore. Jesus is speaking to his apostles and really to his whole church here. because he wants to protect what the Holy Spirit has so graciously created in our hearts through the gospel. Listen to what he says again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. He says, when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And it's nice to see here how all three persons of the Trinity are involved, not only in the faith that's been produced in our hearts, but also in the spirit of evangelism that goes out from those hearts of faith in people's lives. This is a consistent teaching throughout Scripture. We read back in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. The emphasis in Scripture is always on the work that God himself does to bring us to faith and to cause us to hold on to this wonderful Savior through whom we have the hope of heaven and perfect holiness before God and all of our sins forgiven. And that produces in the believer, that very gospel produces an appreciation for this gospel and also a desire to spread it. Years ago, there was a woman that came to a funeral. She wasn't a member of our church, came to a funeral at our church. And for the first time in her life, she said she had heard the gospel, that it's all done freely for us through the work of Christ. And she wanted to come and meet with me the next week and learn more about this. So we went through some Bible passages, and she decided to sign up for an adult instruction class. And it was interesting, about 2 months after she joined the church, she came to me one day, and she said in such a wonderfully beautiful, naive way, you know that part in the sermon where you talk about Jesus and what he did for us and how he paid for our sins so we can go to heaven? I look forward to that every Sunday. I just love that part of the sermon. And I thought, what a precious thing to see somebody who, as an adult, had never learned this before. And have you ever noticed for yourself when you see somebody who has come to faith, but the Holy Spirit's created that faith in their heart, maybe a little bit later in their life, and you talk to them, there's just kind of a different type of enthusiasm. I oftentimes see people like that and talk to them, and I think it makes me realize how, because I've been so blessed with this my whole life, it's easy to kind of take it for granted and easy kind of not to appreciate it maybe as much as I should. I think about the jailer at Philippi. As soon as he's brought to faith in his Savior, we're told immediately he had to bring this wonderful message to his family and immediately had all of them baptized. It transformed his life to find out what it meant now that he'd be going to heaven through Christ. The Holy Christian Church, when it's created in each individual believer's heart, the Holy Christian Church is a living, active organism. It's something that is alive. It's just like if you've ever seen ivy growing on the side of a brick wall. And if you go up and look at it, if you've ever tried to take it off of a wall, it's hard to get it off. And if you've ever looked at it, there are tiny little suction cups on that plant that are just grasping onto the wall. And people will often think that they've burned it off or taken rid of it, and sure enough, a year or two later, it comes back. The Holy Christian Church is like that. It's tenacious. It just keeps wanting to grow and expand. There's a natural, the gospel produces in the hearts of people a natural desire to find other people to learn about this fantastic Savior that we have. And so the very evangelism that reaches us by the work of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament also just motivates and stirs our hearts as well. We're told that that jailer had his family immediately baptized. And Jesus says here to his apostles, you also will bear witness. When the Holy Spirit possesses someone's heart and brings this life of faith and makes that alive, one of the beautiful qualities that it brings is this desire to go and reach others as well. Pastors will tell you that oftentimes after adult instruction classes, people will come up to them, and once they've really started to embrace the gospel, and they'll start to ask about how they can explain this to someone else. They haven't even had evangelism talk to them yet in the class. It just produces this natural result right inside of things. We think about the shepherds who immediately upon seeing the Christ child, they made known abroad everything. We think of the woman at the well who has to go back into town. Come and see this wonderful Savior. I'll just read you a little snippet from Luther, one of his famous quotations. Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. And so it is impossible for it not to do good works incessantly. It does not ask whether there are good works to do, but before the question rises, it has already done them and is always doing them. So this wonderful activity that the Holy Spirit creates in the hearts of God's faithful in the world is how the church continues to grow and expand. And this is all part of the activity of ultimately getting people to heaven. The ultimate motivation in our hearts is not just to keep people out of hell, but it's mostly, primarily, to have them enjoy heaven with us someday. And that becomes then our primary mission in life. Many years ago, there was a pastor in the church body that owns Bethany, the ELS. There was a pastor who started a radio ministry over into what would be behind the Iron Curtain at the time. A lot of places where Christianity was illegal. And one day he got a postcard sent to him from a little girl. She was about 9 years old. And he carried this around with him all the time because it meant so much to him. This little 9-year-old girl that was thanking him for the fact that her family had learned about Jesus as their Savior. And she said, I'll probably never get to meet you in this life, but someday I hope to thank you personally in heaven. When we can get excited about people who are brought to faith in this life. That's fun to see. Can you imagine the kind of happiness and excitement there's going to be when we actually meet people that maybe we played a small part, God used us in some way, a small part in helping them ultimately come to that beautiful home? Amen.